last place I wanted to go back to was...
our little Italy.
Where nothing changes.
You're so thin.
What happened to her wrist?
No one trusts a skinny cup.
Get in there. The get in there. As it tastes.
Just like home. Ha!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Sudbeacon, sponsored by Tommy John. I'm Victor Mattis, along with Sonny Bunch and Jonathan V. Last. Just a reminder, The Sudbeacon is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Look at our podcast and search for Sudbeacon. You'll easily find us. Please subscribe, tell your friends, and leave a review. Gentlemen, how are we? Sonny, what's going on?
I'm going to tell you guys, I've had a bad week.
What happened?
I had a bad week. I woke up on Sunday and had to go out and do some stuff, and I came back and I realized that my life was going to be irrevocably different. I looked at the thermostat and it was up to 78, and I was like, what's happening here? What's going on? And I looked again like an hour later and it was up to about 81, and that's when I realized that my air conditioner had gone out. In Texas.
It doesn't get hot in Texas, does it?
In the 100-degree June, early June weather.
I've been there that time. It's like a dry heat.
It's a dry heat, all right. Let me tell you what isn't dry is the inside of a house where it's 100 degrees outside and you've got all the shutters closed. It was actually more pleasant outside. It was literally more pleasant outside because there was a breeze and it was like 10% humidity. Inside the house, it was like 50% humidity.
Yeah.
And just gross and terrible. So like,
it's like the moisture in Apollo 13.
Yeah.
So collecting on the capsule.
So for about 2 days until Tuesday night, so like Sunday night was okay, but then Monday... was bad, and then Tuesday all day was bad, and the air conditioner repair guy finally came on Tuesday, and we got that taken care of. So you know,
did you need a whole new unit?
No, it was just a bad fan that was overheating and like tripped a circuit breaker or something. So they replaced the fan. It's under the homeowner's warranty.
Had the homeowner's warranty.
Yeah. Amazing that it actually. Came in, you know,
first time ever
under warranty. You kind of wish that they did have to replace the whole unit.
Well, that's the thing, is that if it had been like the compressor or you know something, I'd be like, I was going to be just like, hey, you get rid of everything.
What do you got? You got a 4-ton unit?
I have no idea.
Texas house. What do you? So
no idea.
What is your? How does your heating system work? Do you have dual fuel? Is it all HVAC? How do you run things out in Tejas?
I am pretty sure it's all HVAC. So we do have natural gas here. That's my stove runs on natural gas, and there's like a hookup for the grill. But I'm pretty sure the heating is just it's electric. I'm pretty sure. I actually don't. I'm not 100% sure though, because I don't know. I'm not an expert on such things.
You just moved there. So.
And the heating has worked fine, so I haven't had to actually look and be like, wait, how does this work? What sort of, who do I need to call to replace this?
I remember when my friend Peter Lowe told us that it got cold in Dallas. Nobody believed him because we had this idea.
How cold does it get?
I mean, we moved here in January, and it was you know, chilly. I got to wear cardigans a couple times.
40s?
30s? Yeah, 30s,
below
40s.
Freezing? So maybe... Did you get frost? Would you have to scrape your car ever?
No, definitely didn't have to scape the car.
Your beloved cardigans.
But I did get to wear the cardigans, which was nice.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, when it hit June, it stopped raining and became 100 degrees. Yeah, you know, but like 90, 95, you know, 90, between 90 and 100. But it was, so anyway, it was a miserable couple of days.
Anything else?
That was it. No, that's it. That's the only thing going on.
I think a lot of people are tuning in right now. It's good for the numbers. It's good for the numbers if you can do this every week.
Yeah. Very, very sad to announce that RebellerMedia.com, which you could have saved 25% on with the code Sudbeacon, it has ceased to be. It is the victim of a shuttering, sadly. So I posted a little thread about what went down on Twitter. You can check that out. and my DMs are open if anybody has any questions. But the long and the short of it is there was a series of like relatively bad things that happened, and one thing kind of piled up on top of another, and it just the site is no more. I don't really want to get into all that here. I just wanted to like very briefly say that I really liked working on RebellerMedia.com, and I thought it was a pretty good and interesting site, and I thought it was doing good and interesting film writing, among the things I am very proud of, is being the first person to pay a writer named Bill Ryan to write about movies. Bill Ryan is just a really wonderful writer that nobody had ever reached out to and asked if, you know, he wanted to write about movies. And I paid him and it was great. You know, it was a fun site. It was like kind of weird and esoteric. You know, Jacob Knight every Friday was writing 2,000 words on, you know, kind of weird cult classic type thing. Sometimes a little more mainstream. He did a Roadhouse piece for us, and that was a lot of fun. And sometimes a little more obscure and like I said, a little esoteric.
There was John Milius,
but that was fine. We had an interview with John Milius, you know, which was a lot of fun to commission and work through and publish. And I think a lot of people enjoyed hearing from the director of Red Dawn and Conan the Barbarian and about, you know, his kind of thoughts on the state of filmmaking and all that. You know, we had a great first person series by Michael Biehn, the great Michael Biehn, writing about Tombstone and his kind of experience behind the scenes making that. It's kind of a legendary you know, shit show of a production, that one was, and he had a lot of thoughts, and we were you know, talking about doing a podcast together, and I hope he can I hope he can find a new home for that with his writing partner Jim Anderson. They were a pleasure to work with and really good people. You know, there was a lot of good stuff on the site, and it was a place where people could publish long form film writing on a variety of kind of genre and genre adjacent topics. Find a home for that sort of writing. It makes me sad that it didn't quite work out, for a variety of reasons. And I, you know, with the shuttering of like Film Comment and the, you know, the dissolution of the AV Club into, you know, kind of, you know, whatever it is now. And, you know, the closure of places like The Dissolve and that sort of stuff. There's a shortage of places for good, thoughtful writing on film, that, you know, offers up a diversity of viewpoints and, diversity of voices. And I'm a little bit sad to see it go, but, you know, onward and upward, we still have the Sub Beacon. I want to thank the good people of the SSEU who, like Dunkirk, like the evacuation of Dunkirk, flooded my home with bottles of alcohol, to keep me, from having to become sober and realize that I now live in Texas for some reason, you know, figure out what to do next going forward, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I have a whole list of names that I will share at the end of this show in the shout outs section. Anyway, I'm sad to see it go. If you want to read JVL on Layer Cake Hurry, because that piece will disappear into the ether at some point in the next 2 weeks to 4 weeks. We're not going to keep the site up and running. You know, what would the paywall and everything? What would really be the point?
Print it out.
Print it out.
Read JVL, print it out, and save it in your scrapbook. Yeah, so rebellermedia.com, RIP. I had a blast running it. I honestly, the thing I like most is that for 6 months I got to pay people to write about movies exclusively for a little while. So
I never got paid.
You never got paid?
No. I thought I was just doing it as a favor to a friend.
I paid other people. I paid other people.
Thank you, Sonny.
You know, that's all the time we have for the...
Oh, sorry, what?
A lot better than I took the murder of my magazine.
Yeah, I mean,
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I could be... there are things I could be angry about, but it is... What's the point of...
I think you're just a better person.
No, I don't know about that. I certainly am not going to heaven, according to the priests. So
I was going to ask, at this point, I raise a practical question. Does this mean you're not doing RCIA right now?
No. Well, we were one Subbeacon promo code away from that being the next promo code. And sadly it just didn't come together. We were either at $4.99 or whatever the next one was. You know, it would have made it. So
would just like to point out that I am being on my very best behavior here. Because JVL, my true feelings.
JVL really wants to go ham on this whole situation.
I have some things I would like to say, and I am not going to do that because, but, I got your back.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan V. Last. I really appreciate it.
And Sonny, you know, you
put together a saw house, and I could lock Phil Anschutz in there, and I'll stop.
Wow.
I'm going to stop right now.
A saw house. Like the one Victorino. With the pendulum. And
like
you
a sawmill?
You know what the one I would do? I would do the one where you had to stick your hand to get them crushed versus the pendulum, because I think I would be able to do that. I think about this a lot. I think the hand crushing versus pendulum?
Yeah.
Easily. Easy. That one or the me versus the heavy smoker, hold your breath, and then it crushes your lungs. That's the other one. I watched all of them on YouTube. Anyway, Sonny, you know you could always come back. We got a lot of young and talented writers, or at least young.
Young.
That you could...
Shots fired.
Oofa! I'm kidding. I love them all, and so do you. Well, we could talk. Okay. JVL, where are you?
I am in my mother-in-law's basement.
Oh, it sounds like a dungeon or something. I'm waiting for the...
No, it's her quilting space. And so
that's what you call it, yes. Okay.
Surrounded by... what is the measurement unit for fabric? Is it reams? Is it yards? I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
Bolts.
Bolts of fabric.
Bolts, well, yeah, it is, that's right, bolts.
Thousands of them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's good. Everywhere. And it's like multiple sewing machines, multiple irons. It's great. But I had a week by myself.
Oh.
Because my wife brought the four kids up here, and I was back in Virginia working.
Oh.
And
you just switched.
It was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is like I got to be you. For 3 days.
What did you order Chinese food every day? That's what I do, you know, for different places.
I didn't do Chinese food, but I did one night when I finished work around 11:45.
To your body.
I thought to myself, wait a minute. I could play the most epic Guitar Hero set ever, and I literally turned it up to 11. Yeah. It was I turned the 5.1 surround sound on Guitar Hero. Mm-hmm. Up to the point where I thought even my neighbors might complain about it.
It's like a risky business moment.
It was amazing. The set I jammed on, unbelievable. So yeah, Victorina, how are you?
I'm fine. Really, compared to the big news, you
still
know,
employed.
Nobody's
murdered the Beacon yet,
as far as I know. We're just moving along, and things are fine. I did go back to the office earlier this week just to see what was going on. The whole building.
You know, your gym with the Peloton is never going to reopen. So there's no reason for you to ever go back to the office.
It's just going
to
be me.
You're going to have to get your own Peloton.
No, you know, it's like 30% capacity.
Do you want Emma to be a casualty of this virus? Her job? What happens if she's out of work?
I told you, I haven't gone to Emma in ages. Jess King. Jess King, yes, queen. That's what I say. Uh-huh. She's the best. She went through some dark times, and she has a great workout where she tells her life story. And the workout, for those of you who do have Peloton, I don't, but I still remember it's in my head, is the Jess King experience. The Jess King experience. And it is great.
Wasn't that a Steven Soderbergh movie?
The girlfriend
Full Frontal.
Experience.
The girlfriend experience.
Oh, the girlfriend experience.
Right. Very similar, I'm sure.
Yes, it is. But, you know, in the building now, so like the main lobby, they now have the arrows, like you are to walk, you know, this direction on the right and the other arrows going in the other direction, 6 feet apart. And of course,
how many people in the elevators at a time?
Ah, four. And there are four footmarks.
They're four like dots?
No. They're actual imprints of feet.
And
it's all inclusive. So there's the dress shoe, there's the high heel shoe, and then there's sneaker.
That's too many people in that tiny space.
I was like, what about the flip-flop? Because this is Arlington. You need the flip-flop in there, the brown flip-flop. And that was there. Yeah, we were saying that. And not only that, I was in an elevator with two other colleagues. And I'm like, really? I'm supposed to stand right behind you? And that was, you know, I mean, it's
you could barely even see the news.
If I'm standing,
yeah. How have you been keeping up with the news?
I don't know. Is there anything going on
the past 4 months?
First of all, because you know they shut down the office, I haven't been getting my news on elevator news. Why are we shut down? And I don't understand what happened. And so I'm still stuck there. And I finally caught up. It was like, wow, it was mind blowing. I stayed in the elevator, you know, for about
up and down 30 times.
No, and luckily there's nobody there. So the weird thing is if you have three people, it doesn't make sense to have one behind the other person and then the other person on the other side. You would have to be equidistant, like somebody in the middle. It's weird.
No, you need like a triangle.
Yeah. But that's exactly right, Sonny.
The devil's triangle.
I'm into that. So I don't, you know, but it was weird because when the shutdown first happened, I was like, I'm the only one going into the office. Right. And there's nobody there because I can't get work done at home and I'm used to the routine. And after a while, you just stopped going and you got used to your routine at the house. And what happened is everybody's work schedule shifted as well. So now I used to get into the office at 8 a.m., but sure enough, nobody's really filing until, you know, sorry if you remember, until later.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the rush hits around 3, 4 o'clock up to 8 o'clock. And so when you're at home, that changes everything. You just get a lot of other things done in that time. But I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not getting as much, you know. I mean, I wrote a couple pieces recently, but other than that, it's been you know, it's weird. It's just weird. So I don't know if I can go back to that.
None of us are going back to that.
8 to 5 experience.
None of
and
us
then you
are
work
going
again
back
at
to
home.
That.
None of
us are going back to that. Because
certainly
the other part of this is companies are going to realize they don't need to spend money on their lease. Real estate. They were all trying to downsize. This is what the whole move to the open office was. The open office was really about reducing square footage. That's what it was always. It was always about reducing rent for the man. For management.
Thank you.
The bourgeoisie.
Thank you, yeah.
And us, the workers.
Yes.
Right. we're never going back. So just enjoy it.
And the other thing is pants. I was like, what did I wear? I'm like, I used to wear dress pants, but of course, back in March, I had other, thicker pants to wear, wool or blend wool, whatever kind of pants to wear, dress pants. You know me, I always dressed up. And then I'm like, what do I have now? And it's like, I have one pair of khakis that are so frayed when I looked at them. It was like the pair of khakis that Alec Guinness wears in Bridge on the River Kwai. And it just gets sort of just worn over time and labor. And that's what I wore. No, I didn't wear it. So I ended up wearing shorts. because I couldn't go back. To
shorts just, in the office.
Yeah, I know.
This is how it all
well,
is.
Harrison and Brent were there, and they were in shorts, too. And,
well,
yeah.
To be expected.
So they haven't, in other words, they haven't changed. And then we all went out along with Alex Pastro, JVL, you remember her. The four of us went out to Open Road, the restaurant in Roslyn. We sat outside.
I mean, just think about what this is going to do for the business wear sector of clothing. Like, if you,
and
Brooks
I get
Brothers,
you,
gone. No, Joseph A. Banks,
no, they're
gone.
They're adjusting. Have you gotten their emails, Johnston and Murphy, to about you know dress up for your Zoom, you know, new casual
yeah,
wear for
suckers.
golf as well. There's other they're all trying to figure this out, and I'm basically in, you know, at home just walking around in my underwear. Speaking of which, Father's Day could be stressful trying to find the perfect gift for Dad. Thankfully, Tommy John, the revolutionary underwear and clothing brand known for its comfort, it's for everyone, yep, even your dad. So gift him the softest, most breathable base layer he's ever worn. Their new and improved men's underwear is now twice as durable as his current pair and infinitely more luxurious guaranteed. Plus, Tommy John is offering their best Father's Day deal ever with 25% off site-wide, including easy-to-gift sets that you could order straight from your phone directly to Dad's door. I finally got my Tommy John extravaganza, the undershirts and the underwear and the long pants, and it's fantastic. It's so comfortable, it feels like I'm not wearing anything. And also, I'm supposed to say why it's a perfect gift for Father's Day, and I wrote it down. I think this is a great gift for Father's Day because, unlike edible underwear, you can wear it more than once.
Makes sense.
Right?
Makes sense.
JVL, why would you wear fruit roll-ups more than once? That's what I say. Assuming you live in the edible underwear. Okay, treat Dad to a few pairs of Tommy John underwear, the softest, most breathable fabrics he's ever worn. All of Tommy John's layers are built for next level comfort, whether you're on the hunt for lounge pants, lazy day joggers, or the softest Zoom ready tees and polos you or your dad has ever worn. Tommy John has you covered. Remember to get your order in before June 17th. To ensure that your gift arrives before Father's Day. Tommy John is so confident in their underwear that if you don't love your first pair, you can get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Tommy John is the perfect gift for all the dads in your life. Deliver comfort to Dad's door with 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/subbeacon. That's TommyJohn.com/subbeacon for 25% off site-wide. See site for details. They asked me, by the way, when I got my free Tommy John, what my measurements were. And I said, I'm pretty sure I'm a medium, but, you know, throw in a couple larges, I'm definitely an extra large. Thank you.
Is Paul, like, refusing to do these unless he gets the thing with, we sent him a thing of M&Ms, but there were two brown ones right in there.
Yeah.
So he's like, forget this. I'm not doing the Tommy John reads anymore.
We violated Paul's contract. He's very upset. He's making a statement. So no,
it's fair.
I finally got mine. So I said, I figured I'd give a read. This is funny because somehow, you know, we had this idea that we could take turns about, like, okay, you pick the movie this week and then so-and-so will pick the next week or whatever. And somehow I have now picked three movies, I think,
mm-hmm,
that we've watched, at least Flash Gordon, The Lighthouse, which was a complete bust, my apologies again. And this week, I thought this would be fun. I mentioned this before because I thought when I was surfing through Amazon that this may be the worst movie Amazon is offering. And that movie is the 2018 romantic comedy, Little Italy.
Little Italy.
Sonny, how about a big boy review?
Little Italy stars Hayden Christensen, a.k.a. Anakin Skywalker, and Emma Roberts, a.k.a. Julia Roberts's something or other.
Niece.
As
Eric Roberts' daughter.
Romeo and Juliet style couple who they belong to a feuding family of pizza store owners in Little Italy. Not Little Italy, New York, mind you. Little Italy, Toronto,
Canada. How many Little Italy,
somewhere
Canada.
Little Italy.
Save this
Canada.
For after the review. I have many thoughts.
Little Italy in Canada. Emma Roberts has gone off to a high-powered career in high dining, fine dining. You know, Michelin, four Michelin stars.
It's that good, by the way. It's that good. Michelin rewrote it just for the restaurant.
While Hayden Christensen has stayed home and worked on his pizza shop, but he has ideas about things you can do with pizza, like put Gouda on the pizza. Whoa!
He beat them all out to it.
It's a rom-com. So it's a rom-com, and I don't watch a lot of rom-coms because rom-coms are bad, just as it's a bad genre. And I feel like this movie confirms all of my priors with regard to rom-coms, insofar as the humor in this movie is entirely based on ethnic stereotypes.
What?
And I hope at some point in this we will rank the ethnic stereotypes, or really the stereotypes of all sorts, because it's not just ethnic stereotypes. There are also stereotypes about sexual orientation.
Yes,
fantastic.
There were. Yes, there were.
And you know, the whole thing is about like, will they, won't they? Will they get together? You know, can they put aside their family squabbles? This is Danny Aiello's last movie. I just want to put that. This is Danny Aiello's last movie. Is him being a horny old grandpa trying to get together with the grandma from the other pizza family. The movie is bad. It's bad, but it's bad in all of the sorts
It's like
of
Raul
ways.
Julia, by the way. It's like Raul Julia's last movie.
Yeah, but Street Fighter is a million times better than this nonsense. So this movie is, as I said, this movie is bad, and it's bad in all of the ways that I believe that most romantic comedies are bad. It's based entirely on like the lowest common denominator humor. It's got tons of montages where they walk through, once again, Canada's Little Italy, and like take in the sights, and they're showing each other shirts, and like, look how cute this is.
It was a wonderful montage.
I don't understand how to review this film in any real way except to just like kind of point and laugh at it and say like this is what I think of when I think of a romantic comedy. So I'm like not super disappointed just because it is what I expected it to be. Yeah,
Santino with his fakakta movie stuff. Hey,
yeah, I just like it, and that is very that could have Gabagool. Been a line in the movie. That could have been a line in the movie. It again, it's
can
like,
you believe
it's like,
this guy with his cinema?
you have these like Italian stereotypes yes. competing mm-hmm. with strangely mm-hmm. a couple of Indian stereotypes.
Oh, that one I thought that was far more offensive.
Competing with yes, obviously it's more offensive because it's just more offensive. And then competing also with a Chinese guy who thinks he's Italian, but he's also gay. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the
Basically,
Vic Mattis of the
me.
Movie. He's the hero. He's the hero of the movie. He's the Vic Mattis of the movie.
I wrote that in my notes. Why do I think that Luigi is me? I literally wrote that down in my notes. Okay.
So, there's actually something
if
kind
I'm anybody
of edgy,
in this
though.
Movie, why am I him?
But there's something edgy with Luigi because it is not what he literally says is,
oh, right.
I'm Chinese. When I came out as gay, my Chinese culture wouldn't accept me.
But the Italians
But then I came
did.
To the Italians. The Italians love me for who I am, which is yeah. saying Italian culture, greater sign, Chinese mm-hmm. culture. Mm. That's an actual moral judgment.
That's a moral. That was really. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
No.
That really, that
you're,
was,
you
that
weren't
was,
sort of.
That
like,
was like, when, wow.
When he said that, I thought no, he was helping. Jeez, that's kind of subversive.
I wasn't surprised by it at all, nor did I think it was subversive. It just plays right into all of the other tropes in this movie. I mean, it's like, there's nothing subversive about this film. It's just.
Like the trope about how when you're here, you're family?
When you're here, literally is so, it's so little I have to escape from it to be away from everyone. Oh, wait, no, I just want to be here with my family who I love. And Jane Seymour playing literally just Gordon Ramsay down to the like putting the bread on the line cook, the sous chef's
no,
head
it's
and saying
the classic...
like, you're a moron sandwich. That's literally a meme. That's literally a Gordon Ramsay meme. It's the laziest.
Yeah. But it's also
like the laziest plotting I've ever seen.
It's the classic sort of oh mean scary chef at the end. Oh, she likes it. She's great.
Did you notice, Sonny, how Jane Seymour was introduced in the opening credits?
I did, and it was a weird. It's a was weird it?
With
credit.
A special appearance. Oh, with a by.
They were so excited. Not, they were so excited that we
but
we got
she's,
her. We got
she's
her.
Not. She's not the last credited person, though, which was
correct.
The other weird thing. Danny Aiello, I believe, was the final
rightfully
credit.
So.
Whenever and, like, I see something like that, all I can think about is the agent negotiations.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's all it is. I mean, it's all like about how, right. You know. Anyway, the movie is just dog shit from start to finish.
I'm going to go get myself a pie, and I'm going to get some prosciutto on it,
and
maybe
and, like,
some rigatoni.
The there's a scene where, for instance, so like for some reason, one of the pizza families puts exchanges the oregano in the other house with weed, right? And then everybody gets all crazy and they're dancing around and the Indian guy is like doing his funny accent like it's the rise of Taj, like, you know, we're just going back to Van Wilder, man. I can't believe this movie was made in 2018.
So
or released in 2018.
Sonny, so you had a problem giving this sort of a proper review, but you know who can give it a proper review? No, not even Jersey Vic. Jersey Vic.
Oh,
can give
Jersey,
it.
Vic.
Jersey Vic. Jersey Vic.
New character.
So here we go. Ready? This is for you, Sonny. All right. Little Italy is the best Italian romantic comedy since Tony and Tina's Wedding. Oh, Nikki comes home as a slice of pizza, but she really wants Leo's Brajo Minga. Even Noni and Nona get in on the action. Danny Aiello gives Noni an engagement ring. Next thing you know, they're under the cover, sweet Donato. Guess you could say, first he gave her the diamonds, and then he gave her the pearls.
Oh!
I stole that one from the last one from The Sopranos. I'm sorry. Okay. And that's all I had to say, and I just wanted to get that in there, particularly because it was Danny Aiello.
His last movie.
I guess I called that one. When I saw it and I looked at the trailer, I thought, can you get through this? The two words that came to my mind were cringe-inducing. And also, the question, can it be so bad that it's good or so bad that it's bad?
It's so bad. I mean, it's
is there anything good about this? What surprised, I watched it with Kate, and what surprised her was how earnest she thought the movie was.
Totally. Like, there's nobody has any tongues and any cheeks here. It's like, it's just good old fashioned ethnic jokes with the slimmest, slightest love story that they could possibly slap on it. But then they do it twice. There are two slim and slight love stories. And it just, I don't even hate this movie because, like, what's the point of hating something like this? It's like it's offensively inoffensive, or it's inoffensively offensive. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure which way to go with that. But it, like, the movie is so lazy and so boring and so earnest, as Kate said, that I really ripping into it would be like drowning a bag of puppies.
Yeah.
You know?
I will say this. Can I say this? I thought Hayden Christensen's Italian accent was the best ethnic accent since Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins. Or maybe Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at
Tiffany's.
Yeah,
Mickey Rooney.
Yeah. I think it was that good. JVL. We know these people. We're from Jersey. We know these people. But, of course, you go to I want to see this movie, Little Italy. And, of course, what's the first Little Italy that comes to your mind? That's what I want to know. Toronto?
It's not so bad it's good. It's so bad it's great.
Give it to
it's
me.
It's great.
Give it. Okay, let's hear it.
So, I mean, you got to understand, this isn't a will they or won't they movie. Because the movie literally begins with a double voiceover of the two of them explaining.
They
do exposition. So they not only do the exposition, but they deflate any of the will they, won't they, because they begin by telling you, oh, can you believe how we got together? And it's so it's really...
Good point. Very good point.
Lazy. Emma Roberts... So I don't quite know what to make of Emma Roberts.
Mm, I do.
She's like Anne Hathaway. If Anne Hathaway was and I don't mean that in like a bad way necessarily, because actually I think she's quite winning, but she's not like a good actress. If that makes
she's certainly sense. Not a good actress in this movie. This is not a showcase for her talents. I believe
no,
she was
but
in...
she also is a winning. She's a winsome presence on screen. Also, I thought Hayden Christensen was great. It's the best, honestly. This is the best work he's ever done in a feature film.
I would say second best. First
oh, come
would
on.
Be
Shattered
Glass.
Glass.
Shattered
no, he's
Glass.
Way better in it. He's way better in this. He's
there was some
unbelievably
other movie
charming.
House of
he's
Sand
a,
he, or
he's actually
a movie
charming. Stand. No, but the problem. No. See, this is very
he's
wrong.
A lead.
When we were watching it last night, I said to Beth, "Does he have dead eyes? Because he does. He has dead eyes. He has dead. He has
I
dead soulless eyes. Mm-hmm. He cannot. Yeah. No,
dolls
just like,
eyes.
Just like
black
just,
eyes.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, like this is the problem with Hayden Christensen is that he's like 90% there. You could see him being an attractive leading man type, except for the fact that he has like dull, stupid cow eyes, and not like in a like." Adorable
no,
sort
you're
of
right. There's
just
something
like,
weird about those
like
eyes.
He has these dead eyes, and I feel bad saying that about the guy because, like, you know, I'm not a prize pig. I'm no winning, looker over here. But like,
but your eyes, Sonny, your eyes.
I watch
you're
him
alive.
On screen, and I'm like, is there anybody in there? What's going on? So we
alluded to this briefly. They talk in the beginning with the exposition. They talk about how the Emma Roberts character is so serious that she's at this culinary school where they go to like great restaurants with four Michelin stars. When again, the Michelin stars only go to three. And clearly this is a moment where the producers looked at that and said, if we say three stars, people won't understand
right.
it.
So
they'll
don't
think
worry.
That it just, should be. Just say it's four right. stars. That's no, right. the That's only right. five people who know what the Michelin guide is actually about will watch this movie. And that was so batshit earnest that it kind of won me over. And then the way.
It made you buy into the universe of the film.
It did make me buy into the universe of the film, actually. And the way they lean into the Italian stuff, this is the feature film version of an Olive Garden commercial.
I was going to say, I felt like this would have been a great movie on CW.
The electrician who like comes in the pizzeria for 30 seconds, the character's name is Mario Puzo.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. And you know who's great in it? Alyssa Milano.
Oh, yes, I wrote it down.
Who has literally just given over to the idea of, like, I know I was a hot child actress and a hot, like, teen actress.
Yeah, she's like this
full-bodied.
But I'm
going to present myself as if I am an Italian mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she's great as it. Everything.
It's so stupid,
but it leans into the stupidity and it embraces it.
One of the things I found very amusing about this is that they have a scene. So they have a scene where like the two characters are kids together, right? We skip ahead.
They look nothing like each other. We skip ahead like
15 years, and like Alyssa Milano, Danny Aiello, all the other like older characters are
exactly the same.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what is going on?
So I have an interest. I have a comedy writing. Question about this. So there were three sex jokes in this, all of which stuck out like sore thumbs. There's a joke about oral, a joke that he makes about asking, are you afraid you'll get wet when they go out? And then somebody makes a comment to her, the lead Nikki, about diddling herself. And all three of those were so jarringly out of tune with everything else in the movie.
Well, they also have a whole set piece in the Kama Sutra themed Indian restaurant.
Right.
Yes, yes.
Well,
yes.
That was a little less. I mean, that was a little more oblique than the other stuff. And so I found myself wondering, is this a particular form of like female comedy? in the same way that like the Seth Rogen stuff.
Great question.
Is, you know, like Seth Rogen stuff is pitched to people like us, not
great
to
question.
Our wives. Uh-huh. Is this sort of thing
right.
like?
If only any of us knew a woman.
Edgelord. No, is it like girl edgelord stuff? I don't know. But it, I
know what
that.
You're saying. I know what you're saying because it does have that, ooh, you know, like if you're watching it like
yes,
that,
no,
like
exactly
that,
like that. That right, that's right. what I was wondering. Is this what the Fromian is?
I feel like
hit those notes for female viewers.
This sort of thing was in place. I don't want to say it was prevalent or like, you know, but it was definitely in place in Booksmart.
Oh, I didn't see Booksmart.
Right?
So.
I'm afraid I did not see that movie.
We didn't. Yeah. Did we not talk
no.
about Booksmart?
Oh. We talked about it a little bit, but we didn't do a show on it.
Yeah.
We, that, Booksmart.
Maybe that's
is
what we
very,
do next week.
No, God, no. No, but Booksmart's a
picking.
Fascinating movie because it's definitely like girl super bad. Except I found it to be like borderline unwatchable. Just like not funny at all. But I do think that it has a lot of jokes that play better for women. And I think JBO, you might be right. Maybe this is like girl Seth Rogen comedy. I don't know.
Anyway, all I'm saying is the movie stupid? Yes. Is it preposterous? Yes. Is the stereotyping in it so bad that it then like becomes even kind of amazing? Like, you know, ate the whole wheel of cheese. Yes. And did I tear up a little bit at the end?
Oh,
you're damn right I did.
No,
you're damn right I did.
Which part?
I teared up at the end because I was thinking of all those travelers who were getting delayed at the checkpoint, the TSA checkpoint.
No, for me, it was at the end of the contest when she leaves and he has realized that she gave her sauce to him. And I, you know, I'm sitting there. I've been alone. I haven't spoken to another soul for 72 hours. And it got a little dusty where I was.
And then you put your clothes back on. That was great. I love how the secret to the sauce was anchovy. Because no Italian ever thinks about putting anchovy in the sauce. But that's a good, I had no idea.
Canadian sexual harassment cop also was a legitimately funny bit.
She was trying to be Kristen Wiig-ish,
but it felt like it was from a different movie.
Yes,
it felt like 100%. Yes, it felt that whole segment felt like it was imported in from like
the first draft.
Uh huh.
Yeah. It felt like a different movie.
But I liked it. Actually, you know what I felt? It felt like, and this could be totally wrong. It felt like the actress who plays the cop there is a stand-up comedian friend of the director or
probably,
something.
And
you put somebody who's a legit comedian mm-hmm. into a movie like this, mm-hmm. and a legit comedian can mm-hmm. be very funny.
Yeah.
So
is it basically...
I don't know.
Did they basically decide on Canada because the whole thing was filmed in Canada?
Tax credits.
Tax credits,
100%.
Let's not even pretend it's New York.
If you watch the credits...
The bloopers.
There's the very first thing is like a big shout-out to, you know, thank you to Canada.
Yeah.
And thank you to Air Canada for their considerations.
Yes.
And it is 100% obviously a you know, tax credit or, you know, sponsorship situation. But like, I was watching it, and the first thing I see is Hayden Christensen walking through Little Italy with a Toronto Blue Jays insignia on his jacket, and I'm just like
confused.
What is happening here? Where are we?
Where are
what
we?
Universe is this? And like, it just sets such a tone of dis. It's almost. I mean, it really is almost like it's in an alternate universe, Little Italy. Like, it's not the real thing. It's like a simulacrum. It's like
I've never been to Toronto, but it looks so nice. If that's all of Toronto,
the truth is, Canada is America's hat is better than America. No one denies this.
I have only been to Niagara.
But Vic, what is this called? Because there's even this.
Like,
they do all the Italian
hand
gestures.
You know, that's the curse. You know.
No, I know all the curse, but I'm saying
fangul, right? I don't know what
they do. All
question.
Of that. They're
question.
So.
I know nobody can see
so
what we're doing.
They're so committed to it.
But yeah,
question.
It's right. It is like a Will Ferrell thing.
K five. Yeah.
I love it.
Sunny.
Question.
Yes.
Yeah. In this Little Italy, there are three flags. There's the Italian flag and the Canadian flag, but then also the American flag.
Yes.
Why is the American flag there?
Friendship.
Yeah, the Italian-Americans that come over, you know?
Canadians
tourists.
Are just friendly. They're good neighbors.
The Italian-American
They're not building
tourists.
Walls.
You know what we didn't see any of? No French Canadians, thank God. Yeah.
That wouldn't have worked. That one,
Beckers.
Is there a little Italy in Montreal?
I don't know. It's the worst place. Suicide bombers running around blowing up baguette stations.
Danny Aiello looked old. I will say that.
Because he is old.
I would say it's his finest performance since he played Don.
Papa Don't Preach.
No, that's a good one, JVL. That's a very good one. A great video.
You know, Danny Aiello and that has one played too, he a wore... pizza man before.
Oh, yeah. Do the Right Thing. That's right. Mm. I was going to say The Last Don on CBS as Don Clericuzio.
The Professional. Come on.
Yeah, The Professional. He was great. It reminds me of, do you remember the joke?
Wait, so Vic, does this hit quadrants for you?
It does. I'll get to it. Do you remember, the Friars Club joke? It was like for Richard Belzer's roast at the Friars Club and the joke about Danny Aiello. And said, oh, yeah, you know, Richard came home and found Danny Aiello, and he was banging Richard's wife on the table. He says, Danny, what are you doing? And the first thing Danny says is, well, first of all, I got this new miniseries on CBS, and then after that, I'm going to be over at the Lifetime show, because he's always working, Danny Aiello, till his last days. Quadrants, I wrote it down. Okay, A+. I could have written the script. That's all. It was that easy.
Understood it all, right?
Except at some point, Kate goes, oh, I know where this is going. And I was like, what? So I don't know what she meant by that, but I said, let me figure it out. But yeah, that was pretty strange.
Was it when he won the pizza contest and you couldn't understand better?
No, because I saw her down on her knees under the table. Did nobody else saw her switch sauce? Did nobody else see that? Okay, so that was there. Duration, A+. It was like an hour 48 or something. I mean, it was nothing.
No, it was 102 minutes with credits. I would say, like, if you didn't want to sit through the outtakes, the outtakes actually made me laugh. The outtakes actually made me laugh more than anything else in this movie.
I would say of recent memory, best outtake scenes ever. Bring It On.
Yes.
Yes.
The Bring It On outtakes are
also
fantastic.
10 things. Oh, no. What's the 10 things I hate about you?
10 things I hate about you as the same sort of thing.
Yeah, but Bring It On is like, I wish I was there outtakes. Why are you closing your eyes? No, I wish I was there because of all the talented actors. Okay. Obviously, violence and action gets an F, but sex, nudity, A+. I mean, it was A+ for what it was.
Come on.
A+ for a family movie. I know, going into it, I know it's not an R-rated movie, but what they offered, it was great. It was great, which averages to about a B+ or so. So, B+.
If you like Emma Roberts, you should watch Nerve, which is basically a movie about how the internet is terrible and is gonna kill us all. But she's very good in that.
And if you like Anne Hathaway, you should watch Havoc, because that's also a movie that's about.
Really. That's also a movie. That's great.
What a show this was. By the way, so I had some complaints. First of all, there was the talk about, we're not going to do that modern stuff, right? With the pizzas, right? Like you were mentioning the Gouda. One of the other things they talk about are square slices. Okay, that's called Sicilian. Maybe there's no Sicilians in Toronto, but, you know, when you get a Sicilian slice, it's square or it's a rectangle. Yeah. The idea that that's something new is crazy. Sonny, you remember here in Virginia, you can go to Lido's Pizza. Those are mini squares.
Not really.
And then,
how does he get a 700 degree oven in his apartment?
This is a thing I said to Beth. He's living above a bar. He's living above a bar. In a hovel, one assumes, and all of a sudden there's like a professional grade pizza oven there. Mm-hmm. Like, where did that come from?
Did you think at all, were you reminded at all in that scene slightly of Godfather Part 3 where they're cooking together?
No.
And it's Andy Garcia and, Sofia Coppola. And the next thing you know. So that didn't happen there, but it happened in... And of course, forbidden.
You know,
in Godfather 3, it was forbidden, as you know. Also, they kept on saying prosciutto, but maybe it's different because, you know, in Jersey, you just say prosciutto and like manigot and rigot. You know, you wouldn't say the whole thing. And so I don't know. But, you know, I noticed the people who wrote the film, they were Italian, their names are. So
I didn't see any breadsticks.
Where are the breadsticks?
Yeah, where was the bottomless salad?
Yes.
That's not real Italian cuisine.
That's right. Endless summer of endless pasta has begun. And the other thing is, they actually said your fugazi pizza. Get that out of here. Your fugazi pizza. Okay, that's it. I can't make sense of some of my other notes. For some reason, I have the word perky written. I don't know why. But okay.
Are we gonna? Can we rank the stereotypes?
You go for it. I haven't. You're catching me off right. guard here, Sonny. So go ahead.
From least offensive to most offensive
within the movie.
Within the movie, least offensive is the Chinese guy who is also gay.
No. Daddy Aiello is like least offensive.
Second least offensive is all of the Italian stuff. The most offensive by far is the random Indian people who are in this movie just to be like Indian stereo, literally just like jokes about Indians. I find this as somebody who like I don't get offended very frequently. But I thought that was the laziest thing I've ever seen. I didn't even understand it. It didn't make any... Is there, like... Does... So... But this raises a whole series of questions for me. Like, is Toronto's Little Italy... Do they have, like, an underclass of Indians who like, do the scut work for the, like, families of pizza barons? I don't, like... What is going on there?
Why aren't they working at the Kama Sutra?
Well, they're there, too. So, you know, there's obviously
Are they from a cast that isn't allowed to work at the Kama Sutra?
Was Kama Sutra in Little Italy? Or was that, like, a different neighborhood? Is there a Little India? Why weren't they working in Little India?
Canada. What? It's a friendly place.
Were they not allowed to go to Wee Britain?
Yeah, well, thank you. Very good, Sonny. It did have a feel of like they all lived in Epcot.
Should those characters have been Irish?
Which
would that have been better?
That would have been better, actually. Yes. And at one point, one of them could have like set off
Quebecers.
A car bomb.
Oh, or Quebecers.
Let's not get carried away.
No, we're better off without that. I don't want any French Canadians.
That's too much. Okay.
French Canadians are the worst sort of person.
I loved it.
The Indian was awkward. And Luigi, that was were you surprised when he tells his life story about why he is this sort of Italian Chinese? I didn't see that coming.
I did not. Yeah, see that coming because again, it was a weird subversive.
And then it's like, you know, when I came out to my dad, you know, he threw me out, and then.
But I came to Luigi's, and I'm surrounded by all these Goombas, and they love me for who I am.
Because that's what we think of when we think of the Italian American community is the acceptance of different sexual, you know.
I'm not going to say what they anyway. Okay. Well, thank you. I you know,
in Tom's River, they accept a lot. Believe me.
There you go. Oh, any other thoughts on this before we move on? I can't believe we got 52 minutes out of Little Italy.
Well, Sonny's website had to be murdered too for us to get 52 minutes for this movie.
Very good point. Speaking of which, corrections and shout outs, Sonny Bunch.
I would like to, again, give a nice shout out to everybody in the SSEU who has. Amongst other things, sent multiple bottles of liquor and also a Chili's gift card that will be put to good use this weekend. I can assure you, I'm pretty sure the Chili's is open again, and I'm going to be there. But I asked Shannon last, I asked JVL's wife for a list of names to thank, and she has supplied a very good one here. I'm going to just run through them real quick. So thank you to Andrew Rice, Chris Haberman, Ryan Kinney, Thomas Lassie, Jason Cooper. Jason spearheaded the ordering and delivery because apparently, as Shannon says, he did not trust the rest of you guys to get it right.
Also, he's about to have a baby any minute.
I kept telling him to stop. He has to stop because this is too much. I'm okay. I am going to be okay even with the website shutting down. Jim Swift, Lara Mason, Jen McIntosh, Tanya McKenna, Megan Gill, Tom Abella, Stephen Filippi, Troy, Carmella, Matt Roberts, Haiku Jonah. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say the real name here, but Haiku Jonah, thank you. Flag Taylor, Cameron McVeigh, Rick and Erica, Father Harrison. Thank you, Father Harrison. I will enjoy these in hell. Ming Lu, Tim Lewis, Adam Novak, James Riley, Tyson Olson. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. You guys are very, very kind. I am planning on drowning my sorrows for many weeks as I figure out next steps. I threw my DMs open on Twitter for the first time ever because I didn't want to have to respond to people on Maine, frankly. And I am deeply appreciative of all of the people who said that they really enjoyed Rebeller. It was a solid 200-to-1 ratio of like people who said nice things. Literally one person like said something kind of shitty and 200 very nice comments, one after the other.
I didn't see a single one on Twitter.
There are a few, but you know, it was very heartening to hear that people enjoyed the site while it existed, and you know, we'll see what we do next.
Thank you, Sonny. That is all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at Sonny Bunch, at Victorina Mattis. Again, be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Just type in Subbeacon and a podcast. We're there. Leave a review. Tell your friends. Until next time. So, not sure if I will be able to do show next week as I will be out of town visiting my in-laws, but maybe we could watch something on Turner Classic Movies then we can that's because they have TCM. That's usually
I'm sorry
on.
Your in-laws don't have a basement that you could tape from.
Oh, very funny. By the way, I have one thing and then I can throw it over to you guys. We watched the movie. And then Kate says, okay, so hold on a minute. First of all, she says, Emma Roberts, so like, she doesn't even look like Hermione anymore, is what Kate said.
I'm sure it's fine.